Thanksgiving's coming up next week, and that means the start of the holiday season. Retail stores will have you thinking it started in July, but it really only feels like Christmas when the network starts showing our favorite holiday films, Miracle on 34th Street, A Christmas Story, Elf, Bad Santa, and of course, It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life is about small-town America and how a good man, Harry Bailey, in a moment of despair, wishes he'd never been born. A guardian angel named Clarence helps Harry learn how much he means to other people, and in the end, good triumphs over greed and iniquity. We can all use a guardian angel right about now, but barring that, we still have the movie. And thanks to our friends at Fake Radio, the nation's premier all-time radio comedy troupe, we now have a live onstage production of the radio play. The only Portland performance of Fake Radio's It's a Wonderful Life takes place this Saturday, November 23rd, at the Multnomah Arts Center in Southwest Portland. We're fortunate to have Fake Radio's artistic director, David Koff, and cast member, actor, writer, producer, Jonathan Stark, here with us to preview the show. David and Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Ken.
Thank you.
Well, David, let's start with you. Fake Radio has a long history from its early beginnings in Los Angeles, and now here in Portland as well. It's a little different than the usual live theater troupe, even a radio theater troupe. Can you tell us what listeners can expect at a Fake Radio show?
Well, I mean, we are anchored in history, so folks can expect legitimately to re-experience a radio broadcast from the late 1930s to the mid-1950s. Those are our sweet spots. We're taking the actual recordings. If we can't find a transcription, we are transcribing them, and then we'll represent them, including, and most ludicrously, all of the commercials that air. However, what sets apart what we do from just a straight up radio theater troupe is the members of the cast come from the worlds of acting, singing, stand-up comedy, improvisation, and writing. So at unexpected moments, we go off script. And because a lot of these scripts are so dated and the language is so outmoded for how people speak today, there's a little bit of a loving parody aspect to what we do. And the actors will, when given a line that seems unusual or dated, have a little fun with it by going off script.
Yeah, some of that 40 slang.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, let's be honest, some of that slang was sexist. Some of that slang was racist. Some of that slang is, you know, language that we would never think to use today, either in a polite company or in the privacy of our homes. So this is what I mean when I say it's a little bit like a loving parody. We are, I think, introducing these wonderful pieces of entertainment history to new generations of fans by presenting them in ways that I think are a little bit more digestible to today's audiences. But people who grew up listening to Lux Radio Theater or the Mercury Radio Theater on the radio, you know, people that I would now consider to be my parents or grandparents' age, they'll love it because they'll be brought back to their childhood. And people like me will love it because they've heard about their parents and grandparents listening to this stuff, but never thought they'd be able to hear it in a way that more connects to who they are now at this present time.
And in a way, you're introducing it to a whole new generation. I know I talked to you about the youth collective at KBOO, who just recently did a radio theater piece based on Dimension X, I think was the radio show.
Dimension X is a great sci-fi program.
And yeah. You said you work with kids too, teaching them radio theater.
I do, yeah. I get brought into high schools and I will bring scripts. I will cast them. We'll learn about technique when the students go up to the microphone. We'll work on how to prepare your character. But I'm also working with the folks on the producing end. So I've created a piece of software that allows the students to bring in the script and embed the sound effects. And so they learn about how to create audio files, how to engineer different sound effects, and then how to play those while their classmates are actually doing the acting at the mic. So it becomes a really lovely joint effort for, you know, on mic and behind the scenes.
Now let's get to your latest holiday production. It's a Wonderful Life. Last year, both of you did Miracle on 34th Street. So only a matter of time, David, before you took on this holiday classic.
Well, I mean, how many fantastic American holiday classics are there?
And maybe those two.
Yeah, I mean, they're both great. This was the when I first joined the cast, which was back in the 1870s, this was the first show that I got to be a cast member in. And I thought it was so great. And it's still one of my most favorite shows to perform because of some of the things that make it an instant classic. It's an amazing Christmas story. It's not a straight up comedy. It deals with some pretty deep and unusual issues.
Like suicide.
Suicide, angels, heaven. You know, these are not things that were discussed in polite society when this radio broadcast aired, which was in 1947, I think. And the history of this casting is really unusual. You know, Jimmy Stewart went off to fight in World War II. And by all accounts, he suffered badly from shell shock as a result of what he saw in war. And when he came back to Hollywood, he didn't want to work. And I guess Frank Capra approached him about this. And, the initial conversation with his agent was, no, Jimmy doesn't want to work. But when he saw the script and he saw that here is this guy who was so depressed that his own life hadn't become what he thought it should be, that he was considering suicide, he took the role. There's, I think, some pretty amazing things that needed to align for this project to come to be. And it plays out in Jimmy Stewart's performance, which is, from my perspective, iconic. How do you take a guy whose life is falling apart and make it into an amazing Christmas story?
Yes.
Jimmy Stewart was an amazing actor. I can't think of a lot of people that could pull that off.
And he was also in that 1947 Lux Radio Theater version, which was a year after the film was released.
Exactly.
Along with Donna Reed. So yep. It's great that he played, and I think that's the transcript that you're using from that performance.
It is.
Now, Jonathan, when we talked about the fake radio cast coming from backgrounds in stage, film, TV, and sketch comedy, as David said, you check all the boxes. I think listeners know you as the co-creator of the TV series According to Jim with Jim Belushi, which ran 8 seasons, a lot on television. But yeah. What's your background in sketch comedy? You have some roots in the Groundlings?
I do. I actually was at the Groundlings last night watching a show. I started out at the Groundlings. I started out at the LA Connection many, many years ago. I think around 1878 when David started.
Right.
but I made so many friends there, and we all started taking an improv class with a guy named Bill Steinkellner, and we all became friends and kind of migrated to the Groundlings. And I was in the Groundlings for several years. And then I went and did a little theater, and I got cast in my first movie, which was called Fright Night. I did House 2 and some other films and Project X. And I decided I wanted to become a writer. You know, after that in overnight success of 2.5 years, I finally got my first job and started.
Was that
out,
Cheers? Jonathan?
Yeah, on Cheers. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I worked on Drew Carey and The Nanny and Bob Newhart. And, you know, I just kept working. And then finally we got our. Oh, and I wrote for Ellen for 4 years.
Oh, man, there's a separate interview right there. Huh? What that must have been like.
Absolutely. I wrote for Ellen for 4 years and then got the Emmy. And then I did According to Jim. So I've been extremely lucky in this town. And
I like how John downplays that. Got the Emmy. He won an Emmy for co-writing the episode where Ellen came out on TV, which was this giant cultural moment in America. It wasn't just that he won an Emmy. It was for a particular episode that kind of captivated the public.
Oh, shucks, Dave.
Very, very important episode in television history and in the U.S. culture, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then I, you know, part of the fun of this is I got to work with fake radio, which was to me, David called me one time because we had known each other from doing improv together. And he said, hey, I'm doing this show over at the fake gallery. And would you come over and do a guest star? Now, he was scraping the bottom of the barrel here. So I was the guest star in this one. And I went and did, I think it was Dracula, I believe, for about 10, I think with 10 people.
Were you the vampire?
I think I was the lead. I think, I don't remember, it was so long ago. But I think 10 people and no air conditioning and hot as hell. And, you know, and people playing music outside. And, you know, it was just like, it was downtown LA somewhere, but it was so much fun. I said to David after, I said, look, I was a guest star this time. I'm not asking to be a guest star again, but I'm happy to just fill in if you need another voice. And he called me instead, and that's how I got involved with it. Now I get to go up to Portland and work with, first of all, I love Portland. It's amazing. And I love the rain, so I'm good. And I get to
work. We got you covered. Yeah. It's pouring today.
That's right. And I
you're in luck if you like the rain.
I we don't see rain here. And the last time I saw rain was March, I think. So I'm from Pennsylvania, so I, you know, rain is my thing. But I get to work with a great cast, as I do when we do shows in LA, which is another great cast. So it's a win-win for me.
And talking about guest stars, David, we mentioned Jonathan doing the Bela Lugosi role. You've often featured a prominent guest star like Jonathan. And in the past, I know you've had Phil Proctor at the Firesign Theater. That was for the War of the Worlds, in fact, you did up here. The Kids in the Hall, Kevin McDonald, Dave Foley, Mark McKinney, Lorraine Newman from SNL, Ray Romano, Fred Willard, Jeff Garlin, George Wendt, Marsha Wallace, all comedy all-stars. But this year, you experienced a few setbacks. You were originally going to get Cassandra Peterson, Elvira.
Yeah. This has literally never happened in all the years I've been bringing the show to the stage, but we lost first one and then two guest stars.
Julie Brown.
Yeah, we lost Julie Brown. We lost Cassandra Peterson. When I say lost, I mean they needed to cancel. They have busy and full careers, no disrespect. And, you know, it's not like what we are doing is this big production where I can pay hundreds of millions of dollars to my cast and crew and my guest stars. Largely, everyone does this out of the generosity of their heart. Because
wait a second, wait, we don't get paid?
We can discuss it later, John. Ixnay on the ADO ready.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it has come to pass before, Ken, where someone has had a medical emergency. Oh, my kid's going to be, you know, okay, fine. We'll reschedule for another time. But in this case, both of the talented women who had said yes ended up booking films and needed to go into pre-production. So, all right, we'll do the show without a guest star this time. And as a lot of people from the cast have mentioned to me, the show is what's the star anyway. It's really fun to have, you know, some of my comedy and acting heroes join me. So, John, you'll just have to be my comedy and acting hero this show, along with Aaron, okay?
Well, I always knew I was your hero. I just didn't know comedy and acting, but...
Now, wait a second, David. You actually do have a guest star, Aaron Fitzgerald.
Yes. Well, it's a funny thing to say because Aaron's been in the cast for a considerable number of years, but like John, she has gone on to bigger and better and more acclaim. She just got nominated for an Emmy Award last year for her voice acting. She's a top tier voice actor, and she's been on a show called Ask the Story Bots and got an Emmy nom for that, which is amazing. And, you know, Aaron had approached me, it's got to be 8 years ago, and we had just finished doing the Lux Radio Theater version of The Wizard of Oz, which we would do in costumes and make it a sing-along. It was always like a fun family event. And after the production, she approached me and she said, you know, I would like to do The Wizard of Oz too. And my response was, well, great, we just did. And she said, no, I mean by myself. And I said, well, but that's not possible. And she said, well, I'd like for you to direct it and maybe help me write it. And I said, it's definitely doable. Let's do that then. And so here we are about 8 years later. The show's been written. We have now brought the show to San Diego and Indianapolis and, of course, Portland and Los Angeles. And she's going to bring it back to Portland for one night. So after she stars in the Donna Reed role in It's a Wonderful Life, which is Mary Bailey, George Bailey's wife, she'll be the next night performing every single role in The Wizard of Oz in a one-woman show And that'll be on Sunday night at the Judy Theater Complex in downtown Portland.
Oh, that's, yes, Southwest Broadway in downtown Portland. I read that she'll be doing 27 characters.
Yep, she's got 27 distinct characters. She's memorized 80 pages of dialogue.
Incredible.
She has internalized, I think it's either 15 or 18 different virtual sets in her brain, because she's walking around the set and interacting with it, even though it's not really there. And no props, no costumes. It's just theater at its most primitive, and it's hysterically funny. And in much in the way that we approach our fake radio shows, she approaches that. So we used a lot of improvisation to modernize the story. The dialogue has been updated for new generations of fans, and funny things that people who watch the movie have probably asked themselves a million times. It all comes out in our version of it. It's a very, very funny show, and I've now seen it literally hundreds of times, and I always lose my lunch laughing. So
so it's a treat and a great opportunity for us here.
It is. Portland. I mean, look, it wasn't intended to be a rip-roaring comedy, but in our version, it sure is. And it's still delightful and lovely and warm and charming and a really fun family sing-along.
Well, David and Jonathan, thanks so much for talking with us today. Happy holidays to you both and the entire Fake Radio crew.
Thank you, Ken. Same to you and your family. And I appreciate you having us on KBOO as always.
Absolutely. Always great to see you.
We've been talking with David Koff, Artistic Director of Fake Radio, and actor, writer, producer Jonathan Stark. They'll be performing in Fake Radio's version of the holiday classic It's a Wonderful Life from the original 1947 Lux Radio Theater broadcast this Saturday, November 23rd, 7:30 p.m. at the Multnomah Arts Center, 7688 Southwest Capitol Highway in Portland. You can learn more about Fake Radio's Saturday show and purchase tickets in advance on their website, fakeradio.net. I'm Ken Jones with KBOO's News in Depth saying, Clarence, where are you when we need you?